Good afternoon from the little hills of upstate New York. I'm Eric Francis Coppolino, your astrologer for the next hour or so. This is the Inner Peace presentation for the sign Cancer, the 10th in the series. I'm working my way backwards. Next will be Gemini, and then will be Taurus, and that's the end. Because I started with Aries and went backwards. This is the method that Alice Bailey suggests, though it's not intended for this kind of reading. What she says is that you work the wheel in reverse, and when you work the wheel in reverse, you get closer to the soul level material rather than the personality level material. When you get from working the wheel forward in the ordinary direction, you enter a kind of a spiritual initiation process working the wheel backwards. And that's what I've done. And you're invited. So the chart, solar chart, and all the charts that apply to the sign Cancer are some of the most exciting and dynamic of all in a year of very unusual astrology. Many, many planets changing signs, many unusual conjunctions happening. Uranus conjunct Sedna, Chiron conjunct Eris, Saturn conjunct Pluto, and many others that we could fish out 10 or 15 more. Maybe not quite on that scale, but still. A lot of conjunctions happening, and a lot of them are happening right now. For example, I'm recording under the influence of a conjunction of Mars about to make contact with Pluto. That's a lot of power. That is a lot of directed or directable energy, and it implies a confrontation of some kind, and I will talk to you about where that, you know, confrontation lands in your solar chart, lands in the eighth house. This is a very important and exciting couple of days that we are in. In particular, the 26th of January already. So, but the thing is, the excitement is coming from all those conjunctions, but really this is a matter of orientation. It's a matter of where the stuff lands. So in effect, I'm reading the same chart over and over as part of the series, but every time I do a new sign, I turn it 30 degrees, one sign, and that changes everything because everything's in a different house. Everything is connected to a different house. There's a different sign rising and therefore guiding the whole process. And when we place this particular set of parameters with the sign Cancer in the ascendant, we get a very big chart. And part of why that chart is so big is because the 10th place is cooking. There is a lot going on. The 10th place, especially in a society like American society, where some external concept of success is so very important, and being known and even being famous, it's a thing for a lot of people. I mean, it is such a thing that hello, if you're listening. I once had an astrology client basically explain to me why she was so famous, which is that she was a realtor. And she had her photo on a real estate ad on supermarket shopping carts. And in her mind, that made her famous. And it probably did in the context of a community, you know, even, I don't know what town in California we're talking about here, or, you know, Des Moines, Iowa. But in any event, in her mind, that made her famous. And that was that was important. So it is more important to many people, particularly now that we're in the age of this kind of like self-driven public relations, where we're trying to convince people of who we are and where there is, right, that's what social media is. And then there is your chart, and your chart is about its reputation. So let's go back, and I want to describe for you the 10th place, which is where Aries lands. Where Aries lands in any one of these charts is, I think, given that we're working with a limited set of information, a very important fact of the solar chart. In many ways, my whole theory of the solar chart is based on where Aries lands in the chart, because that's going to be a primary orientation. And then there's all the other little, all the little peculiarities of the chart, of which I'm going to talk about in a second as soon as I'm done with Aries. So the 10th place, Aries. In your case, Aries, right? In the case of Leo, it's Taurus. In the case of Virgo, it's Gemini. But in the case of Cancer, it's Aries. And this puts the sign of the most fundamental questions of identity and existence. The whole statement, I am, emerges from Aries. It starts things going, and it is where people tend to strive to self-actualize. And in the case of Cancer, that means that professional activities and activities that help you manifest and build and maintain a reputation are very important. And you are fortunate if this is about who you are and not what you do. That's the fundamental shift of putting Aries into the 10th, that your success, your reputation, your accountability, your leadership example are all about who you are and not what you do. Now, what you do is influenced by who you are, and, the who you are and what you do, those are both pretty wholesome. Then there's like how much you can snow job people and convince them that you're somebody that you're not. There's quite a bit of seeking fame for its own sake. This is like playing air guitar. Well, that guy's quite an air guitar player. They can win the competition. No one ever looks like that playing a guitar. Playing a guitar is subtle. You barely even see the person's fingers moving. So the fame for its own sake is very much an air guitar type of thing. I don't think that's your problem. It could be, and you want to check that out. I mean, probably the younger you are, but then the boomer generation, well into the Gen X generation, but especially Pluto and Leo people, there are so many famous Pluto and Leo people that I would hate to be a Pluto and Leo person and not at least be as famous, I don't know, as like Madonna or something. Like, what fun would life be if you're not as famous as Madonna? And this is a massive, major fallacy. Now, I know a good few of my listeners and readers are still Pluto and Leo. I've been working with you guys since, I first pulled the pacifier out of my mouth and did my first reading. The fundamental shift, we're going to forget about fame for its own sake, all right? We can agree with that, right? That's just completely ridiculous. And we're not talking about thinking you're famous because you have your picture on the ad, on the little thing on the baby seat of the... Still can't get over this. It's up there with some of the most glorious moments of my astrology career. Because if you want to learn about people, be an astrologer. And you have to like people. If you don't like people and you don't want to learn about people, you're going to suck as an astrologer, especially doing personal consultations. So let's leave it down to the 10th place is either about who you are or what you do, and also what you want to be known for. What do I want to be known for? So when you put Aries there, that implies a number of different possibilities. One possibility is that you are going to be, you're going to want attention, and you're going to find that it is in some way satisfying to have attention. This gets into kind of fame for its own sake. Now, you with Aries in the 10th, you'll still have some kind of an orientation on having attention. Maybe it means that, you can stand it. You're not as introverted and you're not hiding in your shell as much as you think you are. But I think the question is more about, and this is the theme of the entire Cancer reading, is that your process of self-actualization occurs in a kind of a reputational field of existence, which is the 10th place. So just for a couple of examples, that where my theory is where you have Aries is where you tend to self-actualize. So for Leo, Aries is the 9th place. Well, this places a very significant spiritual framing around matters of growth and personal expansion and personal evolution and self-development in a spiritual context, a travel context, the 9th, an educational context, the 9th, potentially a legalistic context. I haven't done a study of Leo lawyers, but I would think that Leo would make, just judging by astrological sign, the very best trial lawyer. Trial lawyer is a form of performance art. So you can see that where Aries is in the chart provides a context for personal self-development. And the thing is that as long as you are into personal self-development, you're going to tend to do that development where Aries is, and there are other factors that will influence that. But for the sake of sun sign astrology, I've gotten quite a bit of mileage out of this theory, and at least it has the true enough rating. And if Cancer is your rising sign, a career is very important to you because it is a place where you really can find a way to be free, to be yourself, and not only to be yourself, but to grow. One big problem with careers and marriages is that they do not provide room to grow. The assumption is you're going to be that person and you're going to do that thing, unless there's a high upward mobility factor in your field. And it's not the kind of field where, like, for example, in the case of the United States presidency, people rise to their level of maximum incompetence. This is known as the Peter Principle, and I'm surprised that I'm the only one who still talks about the Peter Principle. The Peter Principle is brilliant. It essentially means that people get kicked upstairs. They're not really working out on the middle management level, where all the action is, so promote them to upper management level, and they can sit in a room with a secretary, in an adjoining office for 35 hours a week with an expense account, and then they don't really do as much damage as they did on the middle management level, and lucky them, they get paid, 40% more or twice as much, and they get stock options, but they're there because they're incompetent. It's called, another word for it is failing upwards. That's not your thing. Failing upwards, definitely not your thing. And the reason for that is, the reason that's even funny is because, no, you want your growth to be connected with who you are. You want roles that have responsibilities that are commensurate with or maybe just a little bit above your capability, and you're going to stretch into that capability, and you want to going to want to be that person. Be the person who is who you really are. Now, from the mailbag, we had a letter from a Cancerian. I'm sure you're listening because we're going to write to you and make sure you see this and send it to you, even though you probably would have seen it anyway. And the question was sent to me by the customer team, and I answered, and I sort of, these days, I only have so much time to devote to an email, even from a beloved customer. But what I said was, and I'm sorry if this sounded a little bit brush-offy, but your question is much more suited for a personal consultation. What was the question? The question was, well, if there's so much vocational activity in my chart, if there's so much about growing into my, what the cool kids, the wokies call right livelihood. That's related to kombucha. And Well, what is it? How do I know what it is? Oh, well, how do you know? You know it because it's who you are. So much of our career-y stuff in the world, and it's kind of always been like this, because people really didn't have much freedom in what they did. Usually you would do what your dad did, or what your mom did, which usually meant some form of running the household, something like that. By the way, in my opinion, very important work. And if we think of cancer as the sign of the household, well, that means that there's real leadership involved in running the household. I realize the feminists have convinced us that this is all a bunch of worthless bullshit. But anyone who doesn't think that the home and the family are the most important civic institution is either not very old or doesn't really understand actually how the world works. The home, the family, are the essential civic institution. And you could say evil things about this, or you could say good things about this. You know, you could say that the family is the miniature authoritarian state, as Wilhelm Reich said that it was. But you could also say, no, the family, the household has to be run properly. And it's interesting that Cancer has Aries on the 10th. Household has to be run carefully. Managed, including managed financially, and managed politically, and managed in terms of its connection to the community. So, in any event, the whole notion of Aries in the 10th place is the concept of, it's not about what I do, it's about who I am. And so the question is, if you woke up one morning and you had no responsibilities, nothing that you had to do, let's say for a month or a week or even a day, what would you do? There are people who would work in their garden. There are people like me who would sleep an extra hour and tune up an electric guitar. I might smoke some weed early in the day and tune up an electric guitar. And then I would either find a model or go out and take pictures. Chances are, I would write. So, I have Cancer rising. One thing that I've done is I've made my life and I've made my work about who I am. This is a wild luxury for a lot of people. And by the way, I was not in any way raised to be a musician or a writer, either of those two things. In fact, there was a lot of pressure on me to not be a writer from my dad, and extreme discouragement in music from my dad and to some extent my mother, who at least paid for piano lessons for 4 years. But in terms of the who I was, there were some very serious negative negative pressures put on me, because I knew who I was. I knew that I needed and wanted to do who I was. But this is highly unusual. Usually, the kid who is a good bass player and gets along with people and has a good business sense is going to be talked out of being a professional bass player, because I ask you, who ever heard of something so stupid and guaranteed for failure as being a professional bass player? Well, I got news for all those people who think it's stupid. Professional bass players do real good right now, and you do not need to be Philip Lesh or Sting. Everyone needs a bass player. Every band, every show. Well, people who play bass are definitely feeling their own rhythm because everybody else is playing drums and guitar, especially guitar. And so what I'm asking you is, the answer to the question is, the question of how do I know what the right thing to do is, what is your equivalent of bass guitar? What is your equivalent of, in my case, being a writer? What is the thing that you wanted to do which was based on who you specifically were? That others are likely to have made some attempt to either talk you out of or circumstances did not seem to support them in the way that they could? How do you, you know, how, what is that thing? And I will tell you that you are highly likely to have a sense of that thing right now. Because today, Neptune entered Aries. In a couple of weeks, Saturn enters Aries. You got to think, when you hear the word Aries, you got to think me. I realize that's not usually how sun sign horoscopes work. You think, I'm a proud whatever I am. I'm a proud Cancer. I'm a proud Pisces. Well, the information, particularly for Cancer, sun, moon, rising, moon in Cancer, very powerful as the sun in other charts. Your 10th place is picking up all of this energy. And I'm using whole signs, by the way, so we're just going to count 10 signs. Boom, we've got Aries, boom. This is about who you are, not what you do. It's the answer to the reader's question is, what would you do if you woke up one morning and you didn't have to do anything and nobody was expecting you anywhere and you could do anything? What would you do? Would you go in the kitchen and cook? Would you go out walking? Would you get in your car and drive someplace just to see what's there? Would you go in the garage and build something? Would you dust off your sewing machine and make something? What would you do if nobody expected you to do something? That's the thing to do in some form. And you have to be inventive. Now, there's a lot of, with the Chiron-Eris conjunction, there is a heck of a lot of burning off the dross, burning off the hypnosis, burning off all of the various factors that have attempted to con you out of who you are, a lot of which has to do with, in our age, with TV and the internet and the way people act, kind of real weird. Like they're high on some drug, but they don't know what the drug is. That's the problem with the internet. It's like, yeah, what are you high on? I don't know. I just took this pill, and it was neither red nor blue, and now I'm completely confused. I'm completely disoriented. I don't know where I am or what my zip code is. What would you do? So, one of the effects of Chiron kind of going back and forth across Eris, now going across for the third time, is to get stuff out of the way and leave you with a true sample of who you are based on, well, who you are. And then that who you are extends into what you do. Now, how you succeed at that, well, that requires inventiveness, as does any actual creative success. one thing about charts is that they have a way of repeating themes, and the repetition of themes has nothing to do with trying to impress an idea onto the chart, but rather you read the chart in a detached and honest way, and you ask yourself, what is this house saying? What is that house saying? And you keep coming up with a similar related message. And one of the things about Aries in the 10th is about being yourself despite your family. There's an old edition of Granta with the lead article written by Mikhail Gilmore. I had to think about that for a second. And the article was called Family. They Fuck You Up. It's still available. It's a little bit pricey. It was one of the most devastating pieces of investigative reporting that I ever read. And it was Mikhail writing about his brother, Gary, who was the first person executed under the new execution law in the 70s. And the point of the article is that family has an inordinate amount of influence and pressure, and that our parents generally don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're not mature enough to be parents. And in the process, they basically screw up nearly all kids. No non-musician is qualified to say that their kid shouldn't be a professional bass player. You have no way to know that fact. You only have your preconceived ideas. Now just distribute that out by 50,000 million different people and jobs. With Aries on the 10th, you have the power to stand up to family authority. This is a very special thing about the Cancerian horoscope. You know, we don't think of Cancerians as being these badass mofos, but it is kind of the baddest ass mofo solar chart of them all. It happens to also comport with the Thema Mundi, the oldest astrological document, which is a chart, a teaching tool, a chart that has Cancer rising. And the chart is called Thema Mundi. The chart of the world has 15 degrees of Cancer rising. That's pretty interesting. It tells us something about the, you know, the stark menacing power of the sign associated with cupcakes. And this 10th house is being heavily activated right now. You should feel, in my opinion, a little restless. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to do something. And you know you have the potential. All right, but let's talk about the way this theme of, in particular, having the power to stand up to your family, which even if you didn't do it then, you're going to do it now, keeps repeating itself in house after house. And it doesn't stop there. But let's use another example. Let's take the example of the eighth place with Pluto having entered. That is Aquarius. So eighth sign from Cancer is Aquarius, and Pluto went in. This took place between 23 and 24. So it is still fresh. The ink is still fresh on Pluto in Aquarius. The eighth place is the house of the way that our values are influenced by other people, such as, for example, spouses and their family, their in-laws, your in-laws and your spouse's family. The eighth place is a portal into the chart. It's a gateway. It's a doorway through which much comes. It's not merely a subject area. It's an entry point. And to have Aquarius there, it suggests that through this Aries point comes a lot of very powerfully conformist data, meaning influences, persuasive tactics, peer pressure, the first group being the family, a kind of collectivism, a kind of consensus. It'd be completely bullshit, but still, there's the appearance of, or the attempt to convince you, to sell you something with the use of consensus. Well, we all do that. You have to do that. We're all going. You should do that. We're all getting the shot. You should get the shot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. To the extent that you were subject to overly abundant persuasion from others, or the desire to conform to others, that had anything to do with susceptibility to claims of consensus reality. We're doing it, therefore you should. Pluto is going to really mess with that. Pluto will help you foster your independence from all the people who are getting in through the house of the in-laws, legacies and trusts and dowries and marriage and sex in the context of marriage and the expectation of marriage and the expectation of having children and all this. I had a friend once say to me, well, I don't really want to get married, but I'm getting married for my grandparents. Like, really? You made that sentence? Well, damn. Pluto, to the extent that is even meekly true for you, Pluto is going to rearrange that completely. All those patterns, all those expectations, all of that, it's not, you've got a big out. And in a worst case scenario, Pluto could be, it could represent the attempt to pressure you into doing things that you don't want. But that script is easy to flip. And there is, you have abundant opportunity to go your own way, to not have to play along with that, thanks to Pluto. That's a similar situation of Aries in the 10th, having all this quite assertively nonconformist stuff just for having Aries in the 10th, and then we start to add these planets. And that is like, it's kind of as good as nonconformity gets, aided and abetted by Pluto going through Aquarius, where it's like, well, you know, I'm gonna be that bass player. I'm gonna march to the beat of my own rhythm, and not let people tell me what to do. And now, if we look at the 7th place Capricorn, we see a similar situation going. So the 7th is very much the ordinary environment where you walk around and look at people at eye level. It's kind of a theme of the 7th is what I would call eye level. There shouldn't be a lot of power brokering going on in the 7th. The agenda should be out in the open. You should know who the person you're talking to is. They should know who you are. You should know if they're a friend or an enemy. The 5th is partners and potential enemies. Open, not secret enemies. Open, not secret partners. The secret partner is more a factor of the 8th or maybe the 12th. The secret enemy, definitely a matter of the 8th or the 12th. So wide open, eye level, everyone knows, cards faced up, 7th house. Well, you've just had Pluto, aforementioned, now in the 8th, go through Capricorn. This lasted quite a while. And this was, you know, potentially a long series of confrontations of Pluto going through the 7th place. And part of the confrontational nature of Pluto through the 8th is that the Capricorn presence in the 8th is so much about, it is so much about family expectations that it really is. It really is the house where somebody like that might say, well, I don't really want to get married, but my grandparents want me to, and I've got to have kids. It's like, and whose life is it anyway? What do you think? Just because, you know, you're a little progenitor, they're the progenitor of you, the little squirt, they can tell you exactly what to do. So Pluto brought you through a number of confrontations and prepared you for Pluto in Aquarius. by going through the eighth, by dismantling all these structures and structures of expectation and all of this. But while Pluto is busy making it to the end of Capricorn and working its way into Aquarius, lots of other planets showed up, and they're now in, basically, they're in Capricorn between about 6 and 14 degrees. So not that early, not that late, not exactly mid, but kind of like approaching the middle of Capricorn are planets associated with family. Cupido, Ixion, Quatuor, and Pholus in different ways. And there'll be a link to the Family Hunger Games article that you can look at and get a sense of like a wider perspective on what this is about. I can't identify these people. If there's 4 points, there's going to be 4 people and possibly 4 ideas. Maybe some of them represent more than one person, but they certainly represent an idea. And there's a lot of family pressure to be a certain way. Except for one thing. It might work great, except that Pluto's been through the territory. And once Pluto's gone through the territory, you can handle anything. And Pluto has definitely been through the territory. It was long and hard and slow between 08 and 24. And that means activating many things within you and waking you up to certain factors of yourself and other, you know, very exciting aspect patterns like Pluto in Capricorn, squared by Uranus in Aries. This was 2011, 2012. Very exciting time. But the thing to bear in mind with all of that family stuff in Capricorn, including a planet associated with alcohol problems, which is Pholus, you are well tested and you have learned over and over again how to be yourself and stand up for yourself. But the thing to always remember is this: whoever the seeming character on the stage is, whoever this person who's seems to be convincing you of something that's not true, or holding you to a past notion of yourself that's no longer true, or holding you to their expectation of yourself that's no longer of you that's no longer true. Family is the main metaphor. Family is the deepest influence and the thing that you're working to transcend in some way. And you can. But it really takes commitment. It really takes a quest for self-knowledge. And so, you know, by the way, back to Aries 10th, and it's like, well, what do I do? The reader said, well, what do I do? Well, the first thing you do is you get to know yourself. And yeah, I'm sorry if that takes a long time, but the initial steps on the path of getting to know yourself are often greatly rewarded with some form of information, opportunity, advancement, some cosmic reward often follows embarking on a real path of self-knowledge. And you'll be very happy to hear me say that though you may like to or like the idea, you do not need to sit in a cave for 10 years. You need to wake up in the morning and say, what do I want to do? And the answer to that question tells you a lot. It doesn't matter if you are a stockbroker or an executive assistant, and the answer to your question, what do I want to do, is I want to prune my rose bushes or set up a saltwater fish tank or something like that. That is the essential information that you need to make the vocational question into a living question rather than a dead one. Right? The dead one is pick a career out of the career book, which did not include bass player. It did not include setting up volleyball games at at some Club Med type. I had a client who's like whole job was they would just go from singles resort to singles resort within, I think within one chain. It was some, it wasn't Club Med, but it was something like it. And they would set up volleyball games that I guess there's not a staff editor, a staff volleyball editor at every resort. And so their whole job was going from resort to resort setting up volleyball games. I'm like, well, clearly that's a calling. Clearly you hit the jackpot on that. Can you imagine, like, what a great job, especially if you're into it, right? Well, and, you know, what do their parents think? How much money are you making? Well, more than you, bitch, for setting up volleyball games. So we're going to keep coming back to that. And also, if you want to use a negative to get positive information, flip through the Rolodex of history and see if you can remember what people didn't want you to do or to be. What did anyone ever, a guidance counselor, a parent, unlikely that a sibling would do this. Siblings usually like, oh, whatever the fuck you want, it's your life. But a parent, a guidance counselor of some kind, Boy Scout troop leader, I don't know who, try to convince you to not do something? Ah, that's a big one. That's probably some relationship between that thing and what you actually want to do. Now, by the way, with both Pluto in the 8th and all this Pholus, Quatuor, Ixion, Cupido in the 7th, a lot of family secrets are going to come out. The only reason, it's so pathetic. I mean, it really is. The only reason my father would try to convince me to not be a writer, there's a reason. Because he didn't have the guts to go into radio and television. He wanted to go into television. He wanted to go into TV. But he believed that there were no jobs in television in 1963. They were all taken up. Well, 1963, television was adding jobs every day. I would have to say, clearly he did not either look in the classified section of a broadcasting trade journal or Garden Variety, New York Times. He's a New Yorker. He's born in Manhattan. Well, that's pretty screwed up. The reason people told you not to do things is because they were jealous, because they didn't have the gumption. They didn't have the guts. You have to. You have time left on this planet. And if you don't have to, you certainly have the opportunity to. And you have this wide open wild card opening. I better write that on the wall. I'm betting on all this activity in Cancer, in Aries to, you know, help me tune things up and bring myself totally to what I do. And this is the thing with Aries. A lot Aries on the 10th. A lot of people don't want to really bring themselves into what they do. They want to work and leave. Well, I'm not really a paralegal, like inherently, but I go to work and I play the role of a paralegal at work. Then I leave and I'm a cat mama or something like that. No, that's not going to work with Aries on the 10th house. If you're in, you are what you are because you are it, and you are it all the time. Capiche? In this last segment, I'd like to cover a couple of the houses that I don't think that I really addressed sufficiently. There's obviously a lot to talk about. There's 12 houses and a lot of planets changing signs. And the fact of the planets changing signs means that generally there is an old story and a new story. And part of the old story of Aries is that there has been a lot of, of Aries, your 10th has been that, or Cancer with Aries in the 10th means that there's been a lot of activity in Pisces over the past decade or more, culminating in Saturn entering Pisces a couple of years ago. And the ninth place can have a stagnant quality to it. There's a lot that you can get from the ninth, and yet the ninth can also be kind of a spirituality for its own sake. Just for example, so we could talk a lot about the old story of Neptune in Pisces, but let's not. You know, that's neutral enough that it's not likely to have been an issue, but Neptune in the 10th, this is talking about an active visioning process of who you want to be based on who you are. Aries 10th, who you want to be based on who you already are. So houses I haven't talked about, I'd like to say a little bit more about Apollon in the 5th. Apollon, one of those trans-Neptunian points, very long orbits, 700 years or something ridiculous like that. But it's suggesting that if your vocational desires are creative, you're going to have a lot of company. You can attract a lot of, it's Apollo, it's Apollon, it's a derivation of Apollo, but this is, you know, the sun god. This is the bringer of light. And so it's in Scorpio, but hey, you know, you have the ability to light up dark places and count on the collaboration that you need. Aries 10th, by the way, can have a lot of like, oh, I'm going to go it alone. But you don't want to go it alone. You want to use your opportunities for collaboration and for finding the absolutely right collaborators, none of whom remind you of relatives that you don't like. Like, that's really important. If you meet somebody and they say something a certain way, and the first thing you think of is, that reminds me of my creepy cousin Greg, or my meddlesome Aunt Tilda. Forget it. There's a lot of fish in the sea. So Apollon 5th is a magnet for success, basically. And this is creative, and 5th Scorpio is pretty sexual also. And the sex thing, with especially Pluto in the 8th, and now we're going to talk about Gemini with Sedna and Uranus. The sex thing is important. Chiron going into Taurus, very important that you make friends with and or heal your relationship with and stay friends with and maintain your healing process about anything that is sexual in nature. Crucial that you not be fighting with sexuality, with other people's sexuality, and that you not engage in power struggles around sexuality. People are burned out on the whole sex thing, and there's a reason why they're burned out on it, and that's because it is so trounced on, so abused, and everyone has been in some way either made into a victim or convinced that they were, one or the other. And I think that sex has not delivered. People realize that there has been woefully small realization of the potential that sex has in our lives. And that's sad. And not only that, it often becomes the thing that leads us down the wrong path, or so we think. And all of those old thoughts are not, they're not going to be very helpful. Pluto, by the way, going through Aquarius is going to help clean out that clock. And Apollon in the fifth in Scorpio is only an invitation to do bold things. And, you know, I know that people reach a certain age and they often kind of give up. I would encourage you to not do that. It's not a moral thing either way. It's a life thing. And your sexual awareness, first and foremost, your internal awareness of your sexuality, your understanding of your sexual history, your inventory of things that you want, things that you need, things that you wanted to try but you didn't try, things that you have never told anyone, are all very important facets of who you are. And your whole chart right now is about being who you are, not who you're supposed to be, not who people told you to be, not the limits they put on you, not all these games that society plays. It's about who you actually are. And there is always a sexual element in who you actually are. We watch young people go through these absurd dramas and coming out and what, I don't know what, the whole queer movement has gone so far from where it started that it's like it's like halfway to the next galaxy. But all of that dramatization, all of this identity stuff, and you know, there was a time when people were announcing they were non-binary in droves, and quite frankly, I didn't know what the fuck they meant. It's like, oh, will you explain that to me? You mean you're neutral in some way? What the hell does that mean? Well, all of this drama is a form of a kind of a, let's politely say, rerouting of something very natural into something that is not even recognizable quite often. And we see this in the eighth, we see it in the fifth, we see it in the tenth with Salacia in the tenth saying that, you know, as part of bringing yourself into your life situations, you bring all of who you are. Now, there's this super interesting transit. I don't remember how much I wrote about it in Inner Light. I must have said something about it, but there are some things I just completely left out because it's like, okay, if I go down this road, I'm going to have to write 6 pages about this. And so I think this might have been one of them. Uranus in Gemini in the 12th house. Now, in many ways, this is perfectly outrageous for every reason. So remembering that the natural chart has Cancer rising, unlike the concept of the natural chart, like even in your astrology software, if you've got it, you use the natural house system, it's going to put Aries in the first place. Well, actually, at least according to Eudoxus of Cnidos and others who were like way back at the beginning, you know, 400 BC, well, actually, Cancer is the ascending time of the example chart of humanity, and that puts Gemini in the 12th. Now, the 12th is very dualistic, meaning that it has a lot of figure ground, shadow contrast, this versus that, a lot of polarity. And Gemini is very dualistic, so that is a match. But unlike the so-called natural chart with Aries rising, the natural chart with your sign or rising sign, rising Cancer rising, has an air sign in the 12th. That air sign is Gemini, meaning that communication and ideation are very important to the expression of your 12th house. It's not watery. There's a lot about words conveyed and relationships and the spoken and written content of the relationships. A very fulfilling way to have a sexuality is to write about it. It's not the same thing. I don't know where you're at in terms of, you know, partners and or suitability for partners and or your parameters for partners. And, you know, can you not encounter your, you know, your cousin Greg or your creepy cousin Greg or your controlling, manipulative Aunt Martha? Watch out for those people. But then there's the contents of who you are and what you are on the deepest and most intricate inner levels. And that's the 12th house. And you have Gemini there. And there are big, booming transits, in particular, the transit of Uranus going into your 12th, which is a real shakeup of your interior life. There is activity in the 8th that contains a lot of secrets. This Capricorn Hunger Games thing, Capricorn tends to contain a lot of secrets. The 4th, well, let's skip the 4th, but the 12th is the place where ideas, people, things go missing. They get lost, or they're carried around in this subliminal reality that's not quite on the level of consciously registered thought, but it's still there. And when you add Uranus to that, Uranus, by the way, 84-year orbit, 7 years per sign. It's a lot. It's going to be in your 12th for 7 years. If you're Cancer Sun, this is real. And it's one effect of it could be like not sleeping at night anymore. You may have been like the 9-hour night sleeper, and then suddenly you find yourself, you know, well, you go to bed at 10, and then you're up at 1 o'clock in the morning, ready to work, can't fall asleep, fully alert. Well, what do you do with that? You do, and work in this case is more likely to be 10th house work, who you are, not what you do. Do your thing. If you're awake, be awake. The 12th house has a lot to do with sleep. It has a lot to do, and you putting Uranus in the 12th is like very full moony. You Cancer, you probably, maybe you have, do you notice having a thing where you're like up all night at the full moon? That's why the hunt was during the full moon. So what Uranus is going to do is help you kind of flush out all your kinks, all of your secret memories, all of your secret desires. And Gemini, an astrologer once wrote, and I had a laugh because I thought it was a great observation. Well, clearly, Gemini is the kinkiest sign. The question is like, well, why would that be? Well, the whole twin thing. Okay, so you've got the whole twin thing going on, which is A, facets of your personality talking to each other, and B, the twin thing, the kind of twin flames thing going on, and the reflective quality of Gemini, right? That the lover is, and the love object are in a sense reflections or projections of who we are. Uranus going in here is going to really stir the pot. You are going to learn things about yourself that you had no concept were even possible. And I suggest you take that ride. Now I suggest that your astrology says that you're not going to really be able to avoid it. It's just, you can't really avoid the Uranian factor. But the thing is, it's not like predictable. It's certainly not in the realm of any kind of a norm. You may have to kind of figure out that you are inherently very different from people, or people are hiding their differences, but you're going to find out how different you are. And the presence of Sedna, which arrived before Uranus, Sedna is going to spend 60 years in Gemini, spend 60 years in Taurus. And the only reason it's spending 60 years is because it's so close to the sun. It's probably going to take, on the far end of the orbit, 1,000 years to go through a sign. But in the case of Gemini, it's moving, and Taurus, it's moving real quick, 60 years through a sign. And this is about my concept of Sedna in Gemini is an extraordinary awareness of the mental plane. And normally the mental plane is like the total shared mental environment. However, there's a deeply introspective quality of the 12th place. And when you get far enough into the 12th place, once again, you find ancestral influences. It may be the most powerful house for ancestral influences going all the way back. There are several places in the solar chart you happen to have several houses where, as they say in Santeri, those pots are hot. And so one of the places where the pots of ancestry are hot is going to be Uranus in Gemini. And what Sedna does is it provides the ability to read the room. It is an environmental sensitivity. It is an extreme and extraordinary environmental sensitivity, so sensitive that it could be tuned out because it's too sensitive. Or it could be providing information that is below the usual level of what you're observing. If you're driving around late at night looking for a gas station, it's unlikely that you're going to be, you know, thinking about like geological rock formations under the earth unless you are a fully committed geologist. But the Sedna piece gives you this deep inward simpatico with, affinity for, sensitivity to your own inner mental environment, which also includes an inner emotional environment and all facets of an inner psychic environment. This is very handy for you. So pay attention to that. And note that in any intense phase of self-discovery, Uranus is going to come under transit, for example. They're going to be planets. Anytime a planet enters Gemini, you should know that Uranus is going to be under a direct transit. So if you're following the ephemeris, the daily calendar or something like that, or I mentioned something in Planet Waves, so-and-so is entering Gemini. Well, that's going to ring that bell. What these are going to give you is a heightened sense of interior psychic awareness. It's almost like you're a clairvoyant and you can therefore read your own mind. That's pretty funny. Read your own mind. Right? Because like mind reading is mental telepathy. Is like, okay, think of a number. Well, think of a number. All right, last transit. Chiron entering Taurus. This is really going to help you socially. As far as I'm concerned, and I realize I'm old and I'm not cool and I'm not into the things a lot of people are in, and so I think the social environment's pretty dismal right now. It's all showy and it's about money, and you know, now people think it's cool to spend $300 on dinner when you could spend $300 for 2 weeks of groceries, etc. Chiron entering Taurus is going to shift your social reality, I think, in a direction that you're going to be very happy about. Yes, you'll need to get out somewhat, though Taurus does have a stay-in kind of a feeling. But, you know, I think you'll know what to do. I think you'll know how to respond to this influence. I think that you will have opportunities arrive, and the way you're going to know that they're really opportunities is that they're unusual in a way that you really like. You may not be thrilled about someone inviting you to play bocce. Oh, well, who knows? But let's just say, for example, but you might be very thrilled about someone saying, hey, why don't you come out on my boat? Or something like that, especially if it's a sailboat. So be open to social opportunities. Really pay attention. And the Chiron piece brings in the unlikely bit. The Chiron piece brings in the out of the ordinary bit. It brings in the unusual bit. It also brings in the presence of possible elders and wisers. But ultimately, the 11th house is social, and Taurus is solid. For you, true social means solid, durable, enduring, worth something. Chiron will help. All right, signing off at 4:31 here in New Antarctica. Interstellar are the musicians. Lots of love. Bye for now.